Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Welcome once again to the Keep Them Timid Show, where we connect our church to the community and our community to the world. Grab your Bible, grab a prayer, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. The Bible speaks about Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about the historic figure Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, he is the hope of all future prophecy in relation to salvation, restoration, and humanity, especially to the Hebrew people. He is said to be a part of the triune Godhead who preexisted before the foundation of the world was laid. He is talked about throughout the length of the first 39 books from Genesis to Malachi. He is believed to be the God of all creation. The first part of the Bible is incomplete without the fulfillment later on of prophecies of the promised seed of the woman. It is the proto-evangelium gospel preached from the very mouth of God. The first proclamation of the gospel comes immediately after the fall of Adam and Eve. And God shows his intention to save man from their sin. Then there's the Inner Testament period, a 400-year silent period when God did not have a prophet nor a word to speak to his people between the Testaments. With this period, it seems that we find a sad fulfillment of Psalm 74 and 9 upon Israel. We see not a sign. There is no more a prophet, neither there any among us that knoweth how long. In the New Testament, the prophecies about his birth are fulfilled. He is manifested in John chapter 1. We see him. He is here on earth as God, or the God of salvation, who has been manifested in the flesh. He, according to the Bible, has been sent by God, was with God in the beginning. Here is where John, the Apostle John, records, "We saw him and we beheld his glory." In St. Matthew, he is talked about as being the baby of a virgin. He was placed in her womb by a supernatural power called the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. An instruction was given that his name shall be called Emmanuel, that is to say, God with us. We read and we learn about him throughout the scripture as being the anointed Savior who will take away the sins of the world, meaning he, Christ, Jesus, the Christos, the anointed one, will cast or take away all debt and all punishment which we owe to God. It will be removed by his actions on a cross on a hill called Calvary. He is stated in the Bible as being the beginning of all things and the end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega, the first. He is the last. He is all things to all men. So with that said, as we open up our broadcast and we begin to share this great topic or talk about this dialogue, can Jesus really save me? Can Jesus really save me? I want to view and look at that scripture in Genesis 3 and 15. That scripture in Genesis 3, 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman," God speaking to the serpent here, "and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We just thank you so greatly tonight for joining us for the Keith and Kimberly Show. This is your host, Bishop Keith L. Arians of Worldwide International Church, and we're so glad to have you in with us tonight on tonight's broadcast. Our topic tonight is, can Jesus really save me? Can Jesus really save me? Does he really have the power to save me? This gospel that we preach, that we promulgate throughout the world, that millions and millions of people talk about, we want to know, and we want to attack this topic right here. So many believers and people that believe and have different belief systems about Jesus Christ. But what we have in common is that every belief system about Christ at least believes that he has the power to save them from the penalty of sin, the penalty of hell, the punishment that God has attached to those who don't accept his precious gift. And I thought it a noteworthy topic that we talk about it for a few minutes and have a dialogue about it with some leaders here in this great city of Tampa. And I want to encourage you, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone, and we'll see it and we'll get to you as soon as we can. Again, if you have any questions, if you have any comments as the broadcast is going along, please press 1 and we'll get to you as soon as you can. You can also go on Facebook during the broadcast while we're broadcasting and make your comments on our page at the Keith and Kimberly Show on Facebook. You can make your comments on our page on Facebook at the Keith and the Kimberly Show on Facebook. So as I'm beginning to understand this, and I know I got callers waiting, people want to get in, they want to talk, but we really want to explore this topic. I'm going to ask you, when you call in, if you'd be so kind, make sure you have your volume adjusted so we can hear you. Make sure it's not too loud so we can hear you very clearly. And if you hear any echo, just reduce your volume just a little bit more for us, and that'll help us have a blessed broadcast. And let us pray before we go any further. Father God, we just thank you for all hope. We thank you for all life. We just thank you for the spirit of peace. We thank you for joy. We just thank you for all things you're doing. We ask you right now, dear God, that by your power that you would bless us, dear God, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us might, that you would give us understanding, and that you would help us, dear God, to do, dear God, all that you called us to do in this season, in this hour. Bless us right now, dear God, so that we may be able to hear from you, dear God, and hear from heaven, dear God, and hear a word, dear God, from you. We love you right now, and we appreciate you. In the mighty, the matchless, and the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So as we begin to have this dialogue here, I was thinking about how important, how relevant this was right here that we talk about it as believers, because we are the one who is out promulgating this gospel. We are out trying to get others to believe what we say about Jesus Christ. And I want to hear from the body of Christ. I got a few questions that are very important. If you call in or if you come on the live show, I just want you to answer the questions as pointedly as you can, straight to the point, so we can move through this dialogue. But we want to find out, can Jesus really save? Who is this Jesus? Can he really save us? What power and authority does he have to save us? And that's the direction we'll be taking in this broadcast tonight as we are learning about God and as we are trying to do his will and helping other people to understand what his will is. So we just believe God right now. So I'm going to open up a call. I see I got a few callers on the line. So I'm going to open up the lines. What I want to do first, I'm going to start this dialogue with a very pointed question. And if you can help me answer that question, a couple of you, that'll be great. And we just believe God for his mercy right now. Can Jesus really save? Now, have on the line with me my brother here, Apostle Fabian. I'm going to get him in, and I'm going to ask him a couple questions here about this topic and see what relevance he can add to this topic. I'm sure he'll be able to inform us and edify us as God gives him leeway. Amen. So we wanna speak with him real quick. Apostle Fabian, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, man of God. Bless you today. Welcome to the Keith and Kimberly Show this Thursday night. We bless you right now. Our topic today is, can Jesus really save me? So I want to open it up with you. I want to start by asking you this question directly. Some of my questions may be a little challenging tonight, but I know you are geared and you strapped and you're ready for me tonight. So my first question for our listening audience is this. Why do you, Apostle Fabian, personally believe anything that is written in the Bible? Again, the question is, why do you personally believe anything that is written in the Bible?
I would like, first of all, to say, man, God bless you, man of God. I appreciate you and your wife and your ministry and what you're doing here on the Facebook and in the community with Blog Talk Radio. And that is a good question. The reason why that is an excellent question is because so many of us are brought up in the kingdom of God, and that is, I mean, brought up in the church. And what we hear a lot of times is a lot of theory about the Word of God. I was brought up and I knew of God, but when I got saved, then I began to experience God for myself. And when I say experience God, is I began to experience his word. And to me, that is why I believe in the written word, because God will give you personal experience as you apply the word to yourself, to your life. I'm sorry.
Amen. So let me ask you this question, Apostle, here, just so we can kind of set the stage a little bit, because I'm going to be asking a few questions, but I want to kind of send us in the direction of how did we get here in this faith? How do we get here with the belief system that Jesus is who, not only who he said he is, but he can accomplish what he said and what the Bible said he can do? So just answer me real quickly. How did you get introduced to Jesus? How did you get introduced to Jesus?
Well, I got introduced to him as a young boy. I got introduced to the Lord through my mother, through my aunt, who was very well known in the Tampa area as a mighty woman of God. And that's where I was brought up. I was brought up in the Word of God. And so we knew God. I knew of God. I had a healthy fear of God. I knew God was real. Because I could see him at work in my aunt's life and my mother's life. turning from sin and begin to walk with him. But it wasn't until 1992 where I personally answered the call of God on my life, not to minister, but to be saved. And when I gave my heart to the Lord, he became real in my life in 1992.
Amen. 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 So your introduction to Christ, or the Jesus that you never knew before, came by way of you being a youth, and it's generational then. It was passed down to you by somebody else that believed.
Yeah,
is that correct?
As Paul talks about with Timothy. Yes.
Amen. Amen, man of God. And this is super important to me, Apostle, because we so often we go out, and I'm a real practical kind of person. We go out and we preach. And I'm finding in my own preaching, I've been preaching and doing ministry for quite some time now, but I'm finding in my own preaching and in my own evangelism, my own teaching, that there are so many Christians or would-be Christians that do not know nor do they understand the who, what, when, where, and how of even who Jesus Christ is. They understand what Christianity is. They understand that you should believe in God, because that's probably better than believing in nothing at all. But when I give a direct cross-examination of their faith and how they got there, a lot of them failed that test. When I start asking them pointed questions about, are you sure if he can save you? Or why do you personally believe anything that the Bible says? Some of the answers that I get are very challenging, especially when this way of thinking, this mode of thinking, or thinking in this vein in reference to your soul, if and the relevance and the importance that it has to one. So you would think that more people would spend time. The Bible said we ought to examine ourselves. It also said we ought to study the Word and examine the Word and study and learn the Word and see if the things in the Word are true. But a lot of us don't spend that quality time with God, spending time in the Word to find out and to study to prove the things that are in the Word of God. So I thank you for that, man of God. So let me ask you this question here. Here is Jesus. I wanted to reflect back to the scripture in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God here after the fall of man is talking to the serpent, and he has a dialogue with him, and he tells him about his head, or the idea of his head later on being crushed by the heel of the seed of the woman. Do you want to respond on that a little bit? You got a comment about that. What's your understanding of that particular verse before we move on, man of God?
Well, it was prophetic. It was a prophetic or a proclamation in my theology that God was letting humanity know, or letting the world know, that a seed was coming that was going to be in direct opposition to the serpent, and that it would be a him. When you read the literally says, I believe that it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and then at the end it says, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So it is from there,
amen,
that God letting us know that a man, it was going to be a man, and that he was going to crush the authority of Satan, or the power of the enemy in the lives of humanity.
Amen.
And that
amen.
Would be what a, and that would be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Again, we want to welcome all of our listeners to the Keith and Kimberly Show here on Thursday night. Again, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, if you'd be so kind, it's to press the number one on your listening device, on your cell phone or your house phone, so that we can recognize you in queue here. Again, you press number one if you have a question or a comment. And if you can, make sure that your volume is adjusted. If you hear any echoes, just adjust down a little bit for us so we can get a good quality broadcast tonight. We bless you again. Apostle, I want to make this dialogue. In the book of John, right quick, in John chapter 1, the Bible says, John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, or the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But look at what verse 12 says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So let's talk about believing on his name. Our subject again tonight is Jesus, or can Jesus really save me? Here we are as apostles and bishops and pastors who go out again and promulgate the word of God, and we have the Spirit of the Lord on us. He is anointed, and he tells us by divine revelation and through the word of God. The Bible said that all scripture is given by God under direct inspiration of God. And we are supposed to take this mechanism that we have, this outline that we have that we call the Holy Bible, and we are supposed to use that to not only convince people, but to defend a faith about a man or about a person that we never seen. We just believe in by faith. Tell me real quick, Apostle, if you can answer this question for me or comment on it. How, in your own experience, how difficult is that? Because I know it's kind of challenging, but how difficult is it just to be able to promulgate a gospel about somebody that you can't physically present and say, here's Martin Luther King. Here is this person or whoever standing in front of you. Here's a person that you should believe in. Here's a person that you can take him for his word. How challenging is that for you, or some experience that you may have had with that challenging of trying to tell people that Jesus can really save them, but you can't produce Jesus in real life?
It was very challenging. It was, and this is one of the reasons why I stress and always stress the power of God. It was more challenging. I'm not ashamed of my testimony of being in prison, man of God. It was more challenging in prison because in the midst of that setting and that environment, you know, you had the different faiths, the Muslims, the Nation of Islam, and it was a hatred towards Christianity, against Christ and against the church itself. And what God has given to us, the church, to help us make Christ real, a bishop, is the power of God. Mm-hmm. This is what Christ has given to us to make, yes, because see, what happened was when God began to reveal his power and his glory, and when I begin to see it and I begin to operate it in men's lives, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men. I'll draw them if I be lifted up. And when men used to get experience to the power of God, when they used to get introduced to the power of God, God healing them, God delivering them, and God, they saw Jesus in a real way. God was revealing himself to them. And he really, 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 when we promulgate the power of God, Bishop, what I learned and my experience is God is really going to push us out of the way, and it's going to be his thing. He's going to really put, once we reach him, he's going to push us out of the way, and it's going to be his thing. And then what that does is, for us, it makes the preaching more easier. It makes it easier for the preacher, because once a person has gotten cancer and he done went to everything, and then we telling them about a Jesus that can heal of cancer, and we locate them and get them healed, get them healed of the cancer, then Christ becomes more real. He's real. He's real and he's alive. Sometimes, and I know you've seen this, a lot of the preachings that I've heard and I've heard, is that he's just one among the prophets. He's just one of the prophets. And I'm talking about in the Christian church, this is how we preach him, because we don't preach him as the king, God's king, producing God's power. If I'm making sense what I'm saying, once they experience the power of God, that's what I learned. before I begin to see the power of God, it turned into debates. I used to debate, debate with the Muslims, debate with this and debate with that. But when God began to move by his power and his glory, the Muslim guys used to tell other individuals, they wouldn't talk to me. They used to tell other individuals, man of God, they used to say, man, God over there with y'all. God over there, man. God over there with y'all, man. I'm seeing this and seeing that. And it was when they see the power of God, when we can put the power of God in the place that the apostles and Jesus himself put it. See, this is what he used. He used the very power of God because this is what he came for, because he was fulfilling Genesis 3:15. He was crushing Satan's head. He was crushing his authority in sickness. He was crushing his authority with the man in the tombs. He was crushing the authority of the enemy. And when we can do that, Christ, this name Jesus, the topic of the soul, is going to become real in people's lives. He's going to become real.
Exactly.
That's what I've seen. With the power of God, it makes it easier.
Exactly. We appreciate you, man of God. Stay on the line with me. Go ahead and adjust your phone a little bit. I'm getting a little bit of distortion from you. And I definitely want everybody to hear exactly what you're saying, man. We definitely
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, man of God. It was just a little bit of distortion. We want to make sure that we hear what everybody has to say. What a great topic we have here tonight on the Keith and Kimberly Show. We thank all of our listeners for joining us in. This is a worldwide platform. We're trying to move the Keith and Kimberly Show over to the worldwide platform. You know why? Because we have so much dialogue that we can have about Christianity, about church, about living, about morals, about principles, about practices, about ism. And I think we as a body of Christ should have these discussions openly. We should talk about them, and then we should record them so that other people can go up and they can learn, they can grow, and they can be edified by them. So anytime I get great men of God like our apostle here, Ron Fabian, we definitely are endeared to him for his wisdom that God has given him in the Word of God and on this topic. So again, we're talking about our topic tonight is, can Jesus really save me? One of the other points I wanted to bring up before I move on in my question, again, I want to remind all of our listeners, if you have any questions, just mash the number 1 on your phone, and we can see your question and put you in queue or your comment. Again, you can also go up on Facebook and make your comments right on the Keith and Kimberly Show page on Facebook, and we'll greatly appreciate that. So our topic again is, can Jesus really save me? I personally have an issue with sometimes with people, especially those who are supposed to be experienced Bible defenders, those who preach, and those who have great testimonies. A lot of times I've told people before that your testimony doesn't necessarily make an addition to the gospel, because the gospel doesn't need your testimony. It'll stand by itself. It's actually the testimony of Jesus Christ. What your testimony does is it helps to convince people of what Jesus can do, because they can see you. They've seen that you might have been a crackhead. They've seen that you may have been out on the street, and they have seen God's transforming power, the blessings of God in your life. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is all inclusive. It's all that we need. Paul says, I just want to preach him, and Christ, preach Christ and him crucified. And this is how we supposed to present the gospel. We out and we preaching throughout the city. We on street corners, we in the churches, and we running around, and we saying, we talking about this Jesus. But anytime we do a further investigation about Jesus, and we want to talk to people about why they have their faith in Jesus, for some reason people take off running. And I think that is kind of immature to take off running, because we ought to be ones to be able to defend our faith and be able to explore these kind of topics right here. So I got another question I'm going to put out. And if we got any callers that want to address one of your phone, why do you believe that was written and left here for us to discover and learn about Christ? So now we have Christ. We have the understanding of Christ. But now God leaves us a word, a logos. He leaves us a word now of 66 books here to where we can investigate and then make up our own mind about what we believe about Jesus Christ. Again, the question is, why do you believe that the Bible was written and left here for us to discover, learn, and to believe about Jesus Christ? This book has stood the test of time. For as long as I can remember back, and probably well before that, the Bible itself has been the best-selling book every year. No book outsells the Bible for at least for the last 15, maybe 20 years that I can think of. So across the world, we are selling millions upon millions of Bibles and print millions upon millions of Bibles. And we're handing them out, and we are telling people, that this Bible or the character of this Bible can change your life. This is a God in here that can change your life. Jesus Christ in here, the whole Bible is written about Jesus Christ. The whole Bible, all 66 books are written about Jesus Christ. Every word from the beginning in Genesis all the way over to the book of Revelation in the closing chapter of Revelation, it's all revolved around this one character that we hoop and we holler about and we promulgate and we say, Jesus, Jesus, everything is Jesus. But I want to know what convinces you personally when you come on the line, what convinces you of that? So here's the question again. What do you believe that the Bible, why do you believe that the Bible was written and left here for us to discover? Because we're yet discovering it as we're learning it. And why are we learning it? So that we can believe about Christ. I got a call on the line. I believe it's my sister, Sister Green. We're going to take her call in just a minute here. And so as we are discovering God in the Bible, as we are discovering God in the Bible, we are supposed to be those who believe the discoveries that we are coming about, those who are believing in God, those who are believing him, we are supposed to be changing into somebody. So our faith has to be shifted because we say, can Jesus really save me? And at some point and at some time, you convince yourself that there's a character, a person in the Bible who started in the book of Genesis that can really give you eternal life. And I'm trying to find out what led some of us to that place. And why do we believe this Bible right here? I've heard so many stories about the Bible. It was written by man. It was this. It was that. You can't believe everything about it. Yeah, it was written by man under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. So although it was written by man, it was authored by God. He authorized the writing of the Bible. If you do a deep, rich study on the Bible, you'll find out that there were all these different prophets that didn't even know one another, that lived in different times, different cities, different centuries. They had no way and no idea that what they prophesied over here was going to come to pass 400 years later exactly the way they said it. There was no way for every writer of the Bible to come together and form a coup or make up some mess that can bring you to a culmination of revelation of the book of Revelation. It's physically and humanly impossible for them to have been able to do that and everybody to be right. The other point is, if you want a little bit of Bible knowledge, the other point is there's no possible way for you to make a determination about another man's life that would live hundreds of thousands or even tomorrow. There's no way for you to make an accurate 24-hour determination about what he would do with his life. So there's a conclusion we got to find about the Bible and say, because this is where all of this comes from. It comes out of what we call the Holy Bible. It comes out of the Holy Bible. That's where it came from. And if we're going to conclude something about God, we got to find out. I think the investigation should be done on our own book if we're going to stand there and we're going to promulgate it, because we out and we're preaching in the city and we're telling people, Jesus can save me. Jesus can save me. Jesus can save me. Jesus can save you. And that's what we're pushing out into the community. But I'm trying to make sure, I'm trying to make real sure that, you know, we understand what it is we're pushing out when we say that. Can Jesus really save me? And then what proof do you have? So the question again at this point here is, why do you personally, caller, believe the Bible was written and left here for us to discover, learn, and for us to believe about Jesus Christ? I got my sister on the line, my sister Rashima Green. Rashima, are you there? God bless you. Are you there, my sister? Caller, are you on the line? 8 minutes. We're having a little difficulty there. But so my discovery is if Jesus is really real and he's really true, then why don't we who are believers take our time and further investigate what it is we promulgate? That's where the investigation has to come in. The investigation has to be so that when we stand up and we make a declaration about Jesus Christ, we make a declaration about who he is and what he is, that we really got something to stand on. And I want to simply stand on truth. I want to stand on truth, my brothers. I want to believe God for what it is. Look what Isaiah says in Isaiah 53. He says, Isaiah 53 and 1, he said, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Then he goes into this very familiar passage of scripture. He said, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely," the Bible says, surely, "he has borne our grief, and he has carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." But look what it says in verse 5. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Let's deal with that right quick. Let's deal with that. Here's a guy here, this Jesus character of the Bible, this a person that God talked about in Genesis 3:15 in the proto-evangelism gospel. That is the first pronunciation of the gospel, the first pronunciation that God would send Jesus into the world. Here's another prophet, some 5,000 years before Christ, who is talking about this Jesus. He's talking about Jesus, but here he said he's going to be wounded for our transgression. Why do I want to believe that? What makes me believe that he's wounded for my transgression? What makes me believe that he is bruised? What makes me this Bible here? So when I'm asking. Jesus can say, based on what Isaiah 53 and 5 and 53 and 4 and all of those things, is our preaching relevant because this conviction has brought us to the point to where we really believe that? Or are we just believing what mama told us? We're just believing what we think to be true. We just believing in the streamline of the norm because we don't want to be outed as non-believers. So we'll just choose a side just based on where the majority is. First, he just can't say that. And he may want to know in his mind, even if he won't verbalize it, what he got to offer me that I can't get on my own? What he got to give me? And then why should I believe it just because you said it? That's a good question. That's why we got to have these kind of conversations. That's why we got to have this dialogue, because you should be thinking about it and preparing yourself for those kind of questions. So when they come upon you as one who's preaching and teaching and prophesying and running all around the church and whatever it is that we do under the spirit of holiness, that we are prepared to stand firm on our faith. We prepared to stand firm on it. Amen. So we just bless God for all that he's doing and all that he's done in this hour so far. Let's to just keep your shoes on, keep your seat, keep your ears tuned. We're going to go to a commercial right quick, and then we're going to come right back. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Welcome back to the Keith and Kimberly Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Thursday night. Our topic is, can Jesus really save me? Amen. I got a call online. We're going to get our call in. to answer our previous question. The question was, why do you believe that the Bible was written and left here for us to discover and learn and to believe about Jesus Christ? At this time, caller, you're live to answer
Hello.
The question.
Can you hear me?
Amen. Bless you, my sister. How you doing tonight?
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm having a little audio trouble. I was making sure that you heard me, brother.
Amen.
You can hear me pretty good? The Word of God tells me to always, the Word of God always tells me to have an answer, okay? It says,
you're breaking up a little
answer
bit, my sister.
For every man.
Sister Green, you're breaking up a little bit. Make an adjustment. You're breaking up just a little bit, and I can't really make out what you're saying, my sister. Make an adjustment. I'll come back to you about 1 minute here. I'll come back to you in 1 minute. Just make a minor adjustment for, because we want to hear exactly what you have to say. Just stay on the line, make an adjustment. Either lower your volume, because we're getting a bad echo. Amen. All glory be to God. So we just thank God for each and every one of our callers. And we love the Lord. This show is designed for us. It is a us show. It's about all that we have to say. Every apostle, every pastor, every leader is welcome on this platform to have discussion, have interface, so that we can talk this stuff out and we can try to be a blessing to one another as we deal with some of these topics that we got coming up here. And I believe that God is going to bless us, and that the echo of this show, the echo of the Keith and Kimberly show, and the echo of our listening and commenting audience is going to echo all around this globe. I just believe that of God. Again, we're going to go back to our caller, Sister Rashima Green, and she's going to be dealing with the question, why do you believe that the Bible was written and left here for us to discover and learn about Jesus Christ? Are you there, Sister Green?
Yes, I'm still here. Can you hear me now better?
Okay, that's better. That's better, my sister. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, praise the Lord.
That's better.
Now, the Word of God always tells me to have an answer, you know, in my heart, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks me a reason for the hope that is in me with meekness and fear. Okay, so when I heard you actually ask the question, I don't really get that question often. So I always have an answer, you know, and the first thing that comes to my mind is because I want to, you know, not in the sarcastic way, but because, you know, I see the options out there on what to believe in. I see, you know, the opportunities to get into several things, and I can see, you know, the a lot of the end result is obvious. You know what I'm saying? Kill, steal, destroy. I see a lot of stuff that's going on that won't end anybody anywhere else but, you know, hell on earth and definitely eternal damnation, you know? So when I look at it, I say, well, you know what? I don't want that. I don't want that. What I want is life. You know, what I want is peace and love. Those things that I fight for, those things that I thought I can get from a, you know, either a marijuana joint where I thought that was peace, but it wasn't. You know, when I drank that drink, I thought it was joy, but it
wasn't. Amen. Amen. I'm still getting some distortion from you for some reason. I don't know if you're on speakerphone or not, my sister. I can hardly make out what you're saying. Please forgive us. It may be us. We're trying to make an adjustment because I can't really make out what you're saying real good. If you're on the speakerphone, just make sure that you got your volume down, or you can just go to your regular earpiece so we can hear you. Again, I apologize, but we can't hear our sister at all in the radio station. So please stay on the line, Sister Green. I definitely want to get your comment. Just stay on the line. God is going to work this out. I need believers out here to be praying. As a matter of fact, let me pause for 2 minutes here and let me get Apostle Fabian in and about as he pray for us. I'm going to ask him to pray real quick that we can bind all the enemies so that the Spirit of God and the Word of God can be released. I'm going to ask him to pray just real quick, right quick, a prayer so that we can have peace in our radio show. Apostle, are you there again?
Yeah, I'm here, man of God. God bless you. How you doing?
I'm good, my brother. Can you pray for us real quick so that we can continue to have success here as we are broadcasting?
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you right now to clear the airways, clear the phone ways. We bind every spirit in the name of Jesus that would hinder the free flowing of this word and of this teaching and of this doctrine. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we believe it, and we receive it. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen.
Amen, brother. We thank you again. We love you again. Again, we're gonna go back to our question here. We just love the Lord so much. We just want to make sure that everything is heard. And I know the devil don't want us to get a word in edgewise, but he stands defeated. Amen. Sister Green, you there?
Yes, I'm right here. Can you hear me now?
Hey.
Is that a little bit better?
Amen. Yeah, that's a little bit better. Glory sometimes when we are on the speaker phones, they acting up. I don't know if it's the weather or not out there, but we're going to glorify God. If I shift from you, it's just because we can't understand you. But I did get the answer to your question. I see where you was going with it. Let me ask you this question here that I asked Apostle Fabian when we first started. Why do you personally believe anything that's written in the Bible? What makes you want to believe the Bible per se?
Because I tried it. Because I opened it up and I read it. And because it did something to me on the inside that I can't tell you that I was able to even you can't duplicate it. Everything that I was looking for, you know, everything that I was hoping to be, you know, I saw some fruits. I saw things growing in me when I know that it wasn't there before. My eyes opened up, my mind opened up, I thought clearly, I became sober and I became a better person. So I tried it. I tried it for myself. I heard about it. You know, people talked about it. I thought it was a lie, you know, like a lot of people. I heard about the religion because I was pretty much brought up in the religion. But when I tried it for myself and I actually opened it up and started reading, suddenly, and I can't even tell you when it happened, but the words just jumped up and just jumped in me. It became alive. And I love it. It was everything that I ever wanted. It gave me answers.
Amen, my sister. Let me jump in right quick. Listen, so what you're saying here, look, let me say this to our listening order. What you're saying here is that now here's a person who, off of their conviction of reading, you're reading the word to interview your soul so that it has a personal time of interview to ask you questions that's based on your faith. So here we find a person who I've heard a testimony like this hundreds of times in my life, that once I had this problem, I was out and I was all alone and I felt this kind of way, and then God somehow got a Bible in my hand, set it in my face. So I opened my Bible and I turned to this scripture, and that scripture became alive and it forever changed my life. And then I gained the thirst and a hunger for the word. And that thirst and hunger for the word shifted my faith and shifted my understanding and killed the sergeant at arms that was standing at the door of my non-faith, the door of unbelief, and killed the sergeant at arms that stood in front of that door for me that would not allow for me to be penetrated before. So now I'm penetrated because the word of God acts as a washer, it's seed, and the soul and the mind, your spirit man can become impregnated with the word of God, and then it will begin to grow based on that. Once you hear the word, it's food for your soul. It feeds you, and it begins to grow. And as you begin to hunger more for the word of God, this is how I believe that the growth spurs begin. We begin to take on tentacles and take on a growth spur, and we begin to pop out brand new stuff that we didn't have in our spirit before under the guise of changing because of this gospel. So, again, our topic tonight is, can Jesus really save me? We want to address that, and I thank all of our listeners. I thank all of our callers, all of those who we're getting a chance to interview. We love you tonight. My next question I want to go to is, what is the main reason that Jesus came to earth? What's the main reason? I know some of us have a channeled view of why Jesus came to earth. All that we think he came to earth for was to keep you out of hell. But I think why he came to earth in order than to get you out of hell. And I think our understanding of Jesus is so shallow sometimes as believers. It's so shallow until we can't see the full understanding, the full understanding of why he really came to earth. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here is Jesus, who is robed in the highest glory in heaven. He is part of the triune Godhead, and he decides, according to the book of Philippians, to unrobe himself and reduce himself and became in the form of a man. And he thought it not, the Bible says he thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but he came in the form of a man. That means he shedded some glory. He unrobed spiritual glory. He unrobed Shekinah and just put on crown glory and humanity so that he can come there. Why would God do that? Why would Jesus do that? And then, again, I revert back to my question. Then after he does it, what makes me think that glory can save me? What's my explanation that glory can save? What's my explanation of that scripture that Jesus can then save me? See, and when we think in terms of this and we really ask ourselves true and practical questions, and then we try to search out the answer, then we're becoming those who are hungry for the Word of God, those who are hungry to hear from God, those who are hungry to understand God. I hate for people to say, God don't want you to know everything. God and you don't got to know everything. Well, I see it like this, if I can say it like this, amen. If I'm going to believe in the Word of God, if I'm going to believe in the Bible, and I'm going to invest my whole life, my whole substance, I'm going to go to the church and give them my money, my time, I'm going to give them all of my best for all of my life and dedicate my life to who I say this Jesus that can save me, then I need to know everything about him. I need to know his hair color. If he got hair, I need to know what it's for. I need to know all that I can know about Jesus because this is my life I'm investing in. And I don't think when you take that position, there's no way you could be fully vested if you don't take that position about your own salvation. So when I say I really believe that Jesus can save me, I'm pulling it from the idea that I'm fully invested in him because it's personal. Everybody don't happen to believe that Jesus can save them. That's why we still have unsaved people. We still got atheist people. We still have people who are Buddhists and people who believe in different gods and all these different things that they believe in because they don't have of the resolve in their spirit that Jesus can really save them. That he came to save the world. He came to save the world from their sins. Here's another scripture right here I want to share with you right quick. The Bible says, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That is to say, God with us. God with us. God with us. So here we have God with us. Here is the prophecy given in the book of Genesis. Here is the prophecy of the proto-evangelism of God rebuking and talking to the serpent, talking in reference to the seed of the woman. Here we find this seed here. I'm just doing some Bible research here. Here we find this seed here in Matthew 23. Here we go right here. Here is all of the years, all of the thousands of years of God planning in his mind, all of the thousand years of him maneuvering, all of the thousand of years of he bringing back the kinsman redeemer, all of the thousands of years of and part of that dealt with the Hebrew people 400 years or say, all of that happened so that God can get me right here in Matthew 1:23, so that now here's the virgin that was even spoke of, about to have a son, about to have this baby, and before John in the book of John 1 saw here are people here that had to believe in the Old Testament towards the cross. They had to take what they heard, or I believe that the son Seth got this understanding. I believe Abel had this understanding, that he is believing what his father told him or somebody told him about Genesis 3:15, that there is going to come a one. I believe Enoch believed it. There is going to come a one that's going to redeem. There's going to come a one that's going to bruise the head of my enemy. There's going to come a one who's going to take away the sins of the world. There's going to come a one who's going to remove the stain of sin. There's going to become a one that's going to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 53 and talk about that he was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon. Here he is right here. Here he is in Matthew chapter
one here in Matthew sees him in his glory, sees him as a child, but he had to walk down from John. See, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. In that beginning passage over there, here we have Emmanuel. Now it's God on earth. Why do I believe that? Why do I want to believe that a baby came and was born in a man? Why would I want to believe the story of a virgin having a baby? See, these are the questions that the unbeliever and those who we are trying to disciple have for us. Because I don't think we have enough wisdom sometimes to try to make it make sense. Because sometimes it ain't all faith. You got to have some practical understanding too. Because the Bible is the support tool for your faith. So if you're going to use your faith, you got to sit it on the Word of God, because that's all you got to sit it on, because it is He that you are, that you only saying His Word back to Him. Because we ain't making up no new Bibles. We don't have a new Word. We don't have a new Bible. So everything that you state, everything that you say in reference to can Jesus save me has to be pulled from the canons of the Bible. And I like that. So again, can Jesus save me? Can He really offer me the salvation that I want? Can He really offer me redemption? Can He really do away with my sin? That can He really take away my punishment that I owe God? Can He really be a sacrifice for somebody else? Who does that? Who really does that? And based on what? As wretched as I am, based on what? Can He really save me? This is the dialogue for the night. This is what we're talking about tonight. This is what I think we need to investigate as believers and as Christians, and we need to have an answer. If you don't have an answer for nobody else, you at least ought to have it for yourself. So when people ask you these questions, how do you know Jesus can save? We ought to know scriptures. We ought to know line upon line, book upon book, verse upon verse, at least to be able to show them in the book that we say that we rest in our faith on. Because all the time, your testimony is not enough to convince somebody to believe in Jesus Christ. They have to be coupled with what my caller, Sister Green, said. She said that I heard a word and then I read it. I began to read a word, and that word attached itself to my spirit, and it began to grow on me, and its transforming power of the word under the unction of the Holy Spirit brought about a new life, brought about change. So can Jesus really save? Can Jesus really save? Can Jesus really save? That's the question for tonight. Here's another question I got from my viewing audience. If you want to interact, please just press 1 on your phone if you got a question or a comment. We love you tonight. It's really matter. Because I think misunderstanding this part is why a lot of Christians and would-be believers don't really fare well when it comes to defending the gospel. They pull it from one angle, but there are many reasons why Jesus came to earth. He didn't only just come to keep you out of hell and to keep you out of sin. What are the reasons He came to earth? One of the other reasons He came to earth, He came to defeat the enemy in the earth realm. He came to defeat the enemy in the earth realm. He came to do away with our enemy because our enemy was in control of the earth realm. We had to fight him in heaven. The enemy was already cast down after he tried to take possession of heaven, him and his fallen angels. So he wasn't trying to take over heaven. He's trying to still continue to control the earth and then use us. He's trying to use humanity to help him in his plight to control the earth, to help him in his plight to undermine the things of God, to undermine the mantle of God, to undermine the vision of God and the will of God in the earth. That's why he came to earth. That's another reason why he came to earth. Not only did he come to save man, when we say save man, we go straight to the cross, but we don't read all the in-between and the fine print of what is included in the salvation package. And us not visiting the salvation package long enough keeps us immature in our growth. It keeps us ignorant to what it is God really wants us to understand about his plan, his will, his purpose, when we don't investigate our whole salvation package. And you can't investigate it if you start in the book of John. You got to go back to Genesis and say, God, why did you say somebody coming here that's going to bruise somebody, that's going to crush the head of a serpent? I need to pick it up right there because that sounds like something bad. That's the first time you really said it. Here's a prophecy you put out. It sounds bad. It ain't took place. But I need to investigate my word to see where you're going to make this happen there and how am I going to be involved with it and who is the person, this seed. You follow to see who is going to be the seed that is going to accomplish this right here. And why is it important to me? That's the question. What's the main reason Jesus came to earth? Jesus not only came to earth to do away with his enemy, but he came to earth to restore all things and to restore all men. He came to the earth to restore you and I back to the previous glory that we had before Adam sinned. Not only you, but when he said he came to restore man, the Adama, the Adam. Adam is the man Adam, the mankind. Adam is the mankind, Adama. Is mankind. He came to restore humanity. Why? Because we broken. Why? Because we bruised. Why? Because we captured by sin. Why? Because we taken prisoner. Why? Because we can't rescue ourselves. Why? Because we have no way to pay back God the sin debt. Why? Because we owe God because we broke his commandment. Why? Because he's just. He has providence. He's the supreme judge. And whatever he said, whatever three or four laws he had made, nobody should have ever broken. But because mankind broke them, we find ourselves here preaching the gospel. We are every day of the week. Somebody's preaching. They handing out tracts. They singing songs. They're doing all kind of. They got mind ministry. They got song ministries, band ministry, tambourine, any kind of ministry in the world, radio ministry. You can name. We have it under the guise that Jesus can save people. And so we promulgating the gospel sometimes that many of us don't even understand why we are promulgating the gospel. We don't understand what the gospel really means when we say that Jesus can save somebody. So when people who are the beginners or non-believers come and ask us a question about the gospel, we become lonesome, we become confrontational because we are challenged to understand what it is we are trying to preach and teach ourselves. God forbid. God forbid. So we have to spend time investigating the thought and the idea of being saved by Christ. So when we put it out there to people, the Bible says he didn't just come to play around. Jesus came to the earth to save all men of all things. He didn't just come to play around. He came not only to do away with sin, to save us from our sin, but to do away with the very thought of sin, to do away with the very idea of what sin does to Adama. What sin does to mankind, to restore all things so that we can again be the rulers of the earth. So can Jesus save me? Some of us are basing it on our faith. Some of us are basing it on what we were, what we heard. Some of us are basing it on the word. But I think it is a combination of those things that bring us to the point to where our faith is seated, and then we got to put it into action. Our faith has to take feet so that our life is conducive of what we now believe. So when we go to talk to other people and say, can Jesus really save you? Of course he can. How do you know? What are you convinced of? Because this word, this Bible, not your testimony, not proof, but this Bible says this, and I'm convinced that this Bible is what? The unadulterated word of God. And there's no way for you to tamper with God's process. He's not going to let it happen. He's not going to let it happen. So if we got any callers out there with any comments, I'm still here. I'm willing to take them. I want to interface with you. I want to talk to you a little bit. I want us to get a good understanding because our preaching game has to be stepped up. Our evangelism game has to be stepped up. We can't keep just running people to the altar, running them to the cross, assuming just because they say, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, that they really saved. Because this question has to be confronted. Can he really save me? We got to confront this question. Can Jesus really save me? Because that's what Muslims are talking about. That's what people who are non-believers are talking about. That's what a whole bunch of people are asking. If they really want to see, if they really believe even a little bit that he can save, they would investigate him some. But they don't believe it. And we don't have a way to give them enough understanding of why they should believe it and convince them. Now, I'm not saying that we can make anybody believe. I'm simply telling you that this is the question right here that people are asking when you walk away. Can he really do that? Can he really save me? Can he really break every yoke? Can he really destroy yokes? Can he really? It ain't a matter of of him just getting you off of drugs, him just stopping you from doing some type of sin. But we're talking about spiritual stuff. We're talking about stuff that is pertaining to eternal life. We're talking about you being restored, you being regenerated, you becoming the brand new creature, you being robed in light, you becoming the real royal priesthood, you becoming the real holy. Now, this is what we're talking about when we say we saved. This is the argument that we ought to be putting up here. And then our lifestyle ought to be like that, and we ought to live that way. Because he can really save me. This is what we say, that we convinced her that I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, is what we say. So our listeners and people all across the world, if you ask everybody, they saved. Everybody's saved. Everybody's a Christian. That you know. They believe in Jesus Christ. But nothing about, they don't have any answers to the questions that pertaining to how he saved them. They don't have no Romans 5:8, 5:6, and 5:5. They don't have no Romans 3:21, 3:22. They don't have those scriptures in them to know when God says that he made Christ propitiation, this is the method of payment that God used to pay himself back for the sin. Peter says it like this. He said, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, this is what God. Unless I'm holy in the universe, and nothing can be appraised higher than me, there's nothing nobody can offer me for a soul, nothing nobody can offer me, so I got to give my best. It got to come from me in order for it to be the best. Nothing on earth can be better than what I can bring from heaven. Nothing at all. So when we are believers and callers, when we are talking about can Jesus really save me, we have to be ready. We have to be geared. We have to be ready and ready all the time to give a man an answer about our faith. So I'm challenging believers that's on this line right here on this talk show. I'm challenging each one of you to investigate what you believe. Examine not only your own self, but examine your own word, so that you can stand firm on your word. And you can stand, if you have to defend your word, you can defend it to the death. You got to have some understanding. You can't defend the gospel if we're ignorant. So I believe that Jesus can save me. I believe wholeheartedly that he can save me. But I'm not just basing on what my mother heard. I'm not even basing on my own experience. I'm simply basing on that I said, God, I got to divest myself of me, and invest myself in something that I believe is higher. And then from that standpoint, or that vantage point, I'm going to accept everything that my higher power has said about what he can do. I believe from Genesis to Revelation. Even at the parts I may not understand, I still believe it. I take it all as true, and I take it as with faith. I take the rebuke. I take the exhortation. I take the admonishment. I take every bit of it because I'm just simply sold out in believing that Jesus Christ can actually save me. Then save me from what? Number one, he can save me from hell. I don't have to go to hell because I got Jesus Christ. I don't have to go to hell, but why? Not out of stupidity. I'm not a candidate for heaven just because I don't want to be stupid. I'm not going to hell because I made a conscious choice and I got a good understanding of why I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to go to hell because this same Jesus that Matthew talked about came from heaven and he died and shed his precious blood for me. And now because of that covering, I don't owe God. Come here, Romans 5:1. I don't owe God anything. Now there's no more condemnation to those who will be in Christ Jesus. I don't owe him nothing no more. So I don't owe God. So when we out preaching, Jesus can save you, Jesus can save you, Jesus can save you, based on what? Based on what? Your testimony? Based on what, family, that Jesus can save us? We need a word. We need an end time word. And that's what the format of this show is all about. It's about pushing out truth. It's about pushing out greater understanding to those that we may not be able to contact down there on MLK Street or when I'm out on the corner street. It's about a strong apostle like Apostle Peter having a strong word who can go out and change lives with the word of God and really have clarity and understanding about what it is and how Jesus can save. And although we don't have a time sometime when we out on the streets or when we in a minute-by-minute situation to share the whole gospel, we are to be loaded and caught in prime, so whenever we get an opportunity, we already got our stuff ready. We got it real. I'm open. The lines are open. If we got any callers with any questions, any comments, just press 1 on your phone. I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you. I want to understand how you believe that Jesus can save and have some kind of influence on this conversation. We love you tonight, and we just thank God for every caller that we have. We thank all of those who are contacting us via Facebook, those who are contacting us via Periscope. We thank God for our Twitter friends. We just thank God for each one of you. And we bless you tonight. We bless you with a healthy blessing. So we cannot continue to be the people of God who no longer have a good understanding of how God saves. We don't want to be those people no more. If God can really say, we ought to be prepared to answer. If God can really say, we ought to be prepared to give a man an answer for ourselves. If God can really say, we ought to invest ourselves in understanding the God that can really say. If God can really say, there has to be a greater measure of investigation, a greater measure of faith, a greater measure of determination, and all of those things that go along with who we are promulgating. And what we are promulgating. So I challenge my believers. I challenge you. Can Jesus say it? Yes, of course he can. Why do I believe it? My heart tells me so. My faith tells me so. My Bible tells me so. My understanding tells me so. My spirit is in agreement with something that's higher than me. It draws me higher. And there's a parts of me that feels like it's connecting with something in heaven. He gives me utterance and visions and sight. Yeah, I believe he can say it. Is he a rescuer? Of course he's a rescuer. Can he heal? Of course he can heal. How do I know? Because I've seen him operate. Not only on myself, but on other people. That's how I know he can save. That's how I know that he can save. Amen. Do we got a call online? Amen. We bless you tonight. We want to challenge you a little bit here. I feel something in the spirit. This ain't just like we don't have regular church. This ain't regular radio. And we just thank God that his spirit is a lie, that we trying to infuse people with truth. A lot of people don't want to hear a strong word. They're not ready for the strong meat of the word. They're not ready for the strong meat of the word where it can really strengthen them so that they can become stable and stop just being crawlers and start standing up and walking and standing up running with the word of God. We don't want to take our time to learn. So I believe that we have a healthy dialogue here, and I believe in what the Bible has to say. There is so much that I could say about Jesus Christ. There are so many things. The Bible says in the book of Peter, he says, in 1 Peter 1:20, he said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. He talking about Jesus Christ. That means before the foundation of the world, before he laid world, before he laid terra firma down, he had already decided that in preparing and in the vision of creating humanity, that Jesus would be prepared to be a salvation for you. It was foreordained in the forethought of God. He already said, I got a plan here if man don't make it. I got a plan here if the Adama sins. Another scripture says, in verse 21, he said, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. That's where our faith and our hope is, because God raised up Jesus Christ, and we have our hope in God, believing in all that he can do. In the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain. Look what it said, slain from the foundation of the world. So look at God's mind right here. Here's the salvation right here. Here's some of the prophecy here that is talked about in Genesis 3 and 15. That what God already said, here's another prophecy. God said, Jesus Christ, here's proof he was slain from the foundation of the world. In God's mind, he said, I'm willing to kill Jesus for the Adama. I'm willing to kill Jesus if man mess up. I'm willing to send God to earth to redeem him and create him some precious blood and send him through the womb of a virgin so that nobody can take the claim that they was his daddy. He won't have an earthly daddy, but I'll create and design a womb for him and put him in there. Can he save me? The Bible said God can do anything. So here is God on earth, Emmanuel, God with us, that's able to save, because my faith is in God. That's why I believe he can save. My hope is in him. That's why I believe he can save. When he said, I'm saved to the uttermost, I mean, that means with all confidence when I die, I believe that I'm going to see Jesus. I believe that I'm going to make it to heaven with all confidence. Why? Because I believe that he can save me, really save me, not halfway save me, but save me. Give me a full package of salvation, not just small portions of it, parts of it. But he can save me to the uttermost. There's no doubt in my mind that he can save me to the uttermost. Again, Jesus. Audience, Jesus. This Jesus that we talk about as we winding down our program, this Jesus that we talking about, this God that we talking about who came to earth, has manifested himself, John said, in flesh. John said, I saw him. I saw the God of glory. I saw the prophecy. I saw the seed standing before me. I touched him. And not only that, I beheld the glory of God. I believe it. The only thing he had was the Old Testament to go on. John wasn't reading yet. He's saying it. He said, I see the promised seed standing before me. This is why I believe it. Because he started with John the Baptist and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was jumping that off of Isaiah. He was jumping that off of Genesis 3:15. Because now here is the promise, finally. He lived in a time frame in history where he got to see the manifestation of God on earth. What a blessing. But now I tied my face back to that past event, and I said, God, I believe you stood in the water too. I believe that you can save. I believe that you can deliver. I believe that you can do all things that you said you could do. This is the reason why I believe that Jesus Christ can really save me and he can really save us. Let me encourage you right quick before we go. We thank all our viewers and audience. We thank all our listeners. We just pray that God will begin to manifest his power in the earth. We want to see supernatural manifestation, supernatural power to all our listeners online. All of you who made comments right now, we bless you right now. Continue to follow this show. Continue to follow this program. Interact, God. We just bless those people right now who are online. I ask you, dear God, to give them supernatural understanding, supernatural favor, supernatural mercy, dear God. Bring them to another level of understanding. Give them a fresh anointing. Give them the wherewithal, dear God, to be able to bring increase in their life, dear God. Take, dear God, off whatever binds they have. Take off right now, dear God, the ceiling of learning, the ceiling of knowledge, dear God, and let it be an open portal so that you can pour right out of the windows of heaven blessings. Spiritual stuff. So I bless them right now, God. Every man, every woman who is tied into this program, who is listening, everybody, dear God, under the sound of my voice in the studio, dear God, I send out a supernatural wave of blessings right now. I believe that God is going to change this city. I believe he's going to use people like you and people like this radio show and platforms like this radio show to change the world, because we're not going to take any prisoners here. So, God, we bless you right now. We praise you. And we give you the glory for all that you allowed us to do and all that you have allowed us to accomplish, dear God. And we seek your face right now for further clarity, further understanding on the word of God, so that broadcasts like this and topics like this, dear God, can be flooded when it comes to the phone lines, dear God, that we can have an influx of calls we can't handle, because people need to know and they need to understand. So bless us with your anointing right now. And we thank all our callers right now for calling in. Join us next week for next week's broadcast. We have a healthy broadcast for you next week. What we'll be talking about, I believe, the topic of Flocka. I believe that's next week. But if not, it'll be posted online on our Facebook page of the Keith and the Kimberly Show. Again, we appreciate our callers. We appreciate all of you who had questions and comments. Our sisters and our brother, we love you tonight. Please join us next week. Bring a friend. Call in and then investigate your word to see if these things are true. We love you, and may God keep you richly blessed in his word.